Dear Pilgrim Partners, greetings to you from your brothers and sisters in Christ in Fond du Lac from Lutheran Memorial Church. Every word of God is pure, and all Scripture is given to us by the inspiration of God. Question to begin this morning, I want to ask you, what's your favorite slogan? I remember growing up, remember the Nike commercials? The one that sticks out in my mind was, "Be like Mike." Now, a lot of you younger people probably don't know who I'm talking about, but Michael Jordan, one of the greatest basketball players of all time. Another popular Nike slogan was, "Just do it." The idea being that if you're wearing the Nike shoes, you can do anything. Other slogans that we see today is also from Gatorade commercials. One that I remember also was, "Obey your thirst. Drink Gatorade." Or another one that really stands out in my mind is it in you? The catchy slogan really focusing on the truth that if you have Gatorade in you, you can do anything. If we look at our text for today from the letter to the Galatians, what is in us? What is in you? Up in Lutheran Memorial, we've been doing a sermon series on the book of Galatians, and so we look at Galatians 2 for today, verses 11 through 21. I invite you to follow along in your bulletins with me. When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of them all, "You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. If while we seek to be justified in Christ, it becomes evident that we ourselves are sinners, does that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, I prove that I am a lawbreaker. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing." This is the word of God, and so we pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Our theme for this morning is, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." You probably recognize that as a quote from the Psalm. But as you think of that theme for today, those two parts that we're focusing on help us to emphasize the text that we see before us. Because the fear of man leads to hypocrisy, while the fear of God always leads us to Christ. Do you remember back in Exodus 3, when Moses made those excuses not to go back to Egypt to lead his people away from Pharaoh? Do you remember the excuses that he made? What's the first one? Does anyone remember? What's that?
I can't speak.
Yeah, you can't. Well, yeah, that was one of them. I can't speak. How am I going to say anything? I don't know the words. And God said, "I will give you the words, and your brother-in-law Aaron will speak for you." He also made the point of, "Well, who should I tell them is sending me, Lord? How am I supposed to tell them that? Who am I supposed to tell them is sending?" And the Lord said, "Tell them I am is sending you. The true Jehovah God is the one who sent you." Another excuse he made was, that, "Well, how are they going to believe that you really sent me?" And God gave him two different miracles. When he put his hand into his side and brought out his leprous hand, or when he cast the rod on the ground and became a serpent. Or do you remember back in Numbers 13, when Israel had sent those 12 spies into that huge city with ginormous walls, Jericho? What was their thoughts when they returned? 10 of them said, "There is no possible way that we can attack and conquer these mighty people, these giants, this huge city, this fortress." Remember back in 1 Samuel 17, I know you do, when Israel was against Goliath? What were the excuses that were made from the children of Israel at that time? How can anyone stand up to this massive opponent, this bully? What slogan would you use for these individuals? An easy one would be chicken. What slogan would we use for Peter in our text for this morning? Let's look at verses 11 through 13 again. When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles, but when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. That word there, as many others, if we were to label and give a slogan for Peter, would be hypocrite. It's a transliteration from the Greek word hypokrisai, or insincerity. When we think of that word, it's really the sign for Peter in this text. He was being a hypocrite because he knew that the Jewish customs weren't something that were having to be enforced. Yet by his actions, he showed all the people around him that maybe he thought he was better than the Gentiles. Maybe he thought he was better than those others who had just come to know Christ or put their faith in him. As we look at our text for today in verse 13, the Jews joined him in that hypocrisy and people were led away and following the example of Christ. Now we know this wasn't the first time that Peter was hypocritical, was he? Back in Matthew 26, we know that Peter denied Jesus how many times? Three. Yeah, absolutely. Peter was afraid, it says in our text, what others thought of him. That's why that focuses on our first part this morning. The fear of man leads to hypocrisy. I ask you, how many of us have been afraid of what people have thought? Has led to our own hypocrisy, our own denial of following Christ, our Savior, and the words that He taught us. Maybe we've had the opportunity to speak up about our faith. I guarantee there's been opportunities, probably for each one of us, recently with the whole homosexual debate, to be able to speak the truth of God's Word and not fear what mankind might say or do to us, but share the truths of God's saving Word. When we look at the insincerity, we need to ask ourselves the question, as we look at Peter's example here, poor example, and ask ourselves the question, what fears of mankind does it lead us to in our lives? What does it lead us to outside of sin and denial of our Lord? Do you remember when, like Moses, you made excuses not to follow Christ? Do you remember, like those 10 spies, when you doubted God's presence in your life? Where you didn't think that that fortress or that obstacle could be conquered in your life, whether it be financial or physical? Do you remember, like Israel, when you feared the bully rather than God? Each one of us are guilty from trusting our Lord, from being and showing signs of hypocrisy in our lives, for not trusting our Redeemer, our Father in heaven. Here's our sign when we sin. Hypocrite. Is Christ in you? That's the slogan we ought to be saying as Christians. Because what we see in Peter is that denial of Christ. Yes, when he spoke that denial, back when Jesus was on trial, but in the simple, everyday events and actions of his life, also, as we see exampled in our text today. The fear of man leads to hypocrisy. But thanks be to God, that's not the only point. The fear of God leads us back to Christ. We need to remember this word also, which if you look back in Galatians 1, you see a lot more about Paul's zeal. Zelotes in the Greek is basically transliterated into our English, zealous. If we look back at Galatians 1, we see Paul's original zeal as Saul was to persecute the church of God. All the people who followed Christ, Saul dragged away into the courts and into the prisons and had them put to death. Paul, converted by Christ on the road to Damascus, showed the signs that, look at how I behaved before, but now look what the Lord has done for me. He showed his misplaced zeal and following what he thought was right, but recognized that the Lord God, Jesus, the risen Savior, was the one in which his zeal ought to be placed. In verse 14 of our text, we look there, we see this zeal of Paul standing out. Let's look there again. What does Paul say to Peter? When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of them all, you are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? Look at what Paul said to Peter, patriarch, the one who had followed Christ. He said, in front of them all, not worried what the fellow apostles and disciples would think of him, but spoke the truth of God's word. So you look at this example of Paul here, we can see that explanation of Peter's hypocrisy and not following the gospel of Christ and not showing others what it meant to share the love of Christ and his gospel message. If you look at the study, I'd encourage you to read Galatians, especially after today as we look at a large chunk of it today. What would be the slogan? What would be the focal point of Galatians? I believe it's in this chapter, in these verses for today. Can you find it? Can you find a most important slogan that we need to hear or think of? Look at verses 15 and 16. Paul shows the contrast. We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners or unbelievers, in other words, know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. Last Saturday, a member at Fond du Lac, Luther Memorial, and I went to a church in Watertown, Saturday night service, because we were looking at their church speakers. And it was an ELCA church, and it was very interesting because they were also doing a sermon study on Galatians. And they came to this word justification that we came to today. In fact, they had another translation because they thought that word was too difficult. And that really struck me. Isn't that the most important word that we base our faith on? Justification? It means to declare not guilty. Isn't that why we're here today? To hear again that gospel message that you and I have been declared not guilty in Christ because of our hypocrisy, because of our misplaced zeal? We're not guilty. Paul says it right here. Here's our slogan. Here's our catchphrase for life, our joy. A man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Is there a greater truth than that? Faith saves. Not by works of the law, not by our righteousness. The Bible tells us all our righteousness is as filthy rags. No one has done right before the Lord. But here in verse 16, we see three times the emphasis is on faith, not by works. So we here at Peace Through Christ, we here at Lutheran Memorial, we here have a precious treasure that most of the world has lost and forgotten and laid aside. Because our faith is not in ourselves, but in the work of Christ. What is grace? That's been something I've been asking the last few months in Lutheran Memorial. Because that is the definition of justification. Undeserved love by our Almighty Judge, by our Almighty God. Love from our Father in heaven that should treat us with punishment, contempt, but shows us love by sending His perfect Son to die for us. To take our place on the cross. To take our place in the pangs of hell. If you look at those slogans that advertisement companies do, we can really think a lot about what our Savior has done for us. Let us ask the question, when we think of the Gatorade slogan, is it in you? Let's ask the question, is Christ in you? We will see that in our life. We will see the joy in living that way for Christ. If we look at ourselves only, and we ask the question, is he in you? I would have to say no. On my own, Christ is not in me. By the grace of God, through the Word of God, Christ lives in me and in you. What does that look like? Righteousness and holiness is from God and not ourselves. What a wonderful thing as we look at our text. Verse 20, another great slogan of this section. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Ask yourselves, day after day, is he in me? And know confidently, as we hear the treasures of God's Word, yes. Yes, he is. And he continues to give us that joy and strength to live according to his will and to share the wonders of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. You see, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Because if we fear man, it'll lead us to more sin. But when we fear God, it always leads us to Christ. Amen. May this peace of God which passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.